Okay, good morning. So we left off last week. We were talking about the Malacha of Kireya and realized there was a major machlekes in the Rishonim as to whether the phrase that appears in the Mishnah, Kireya Amanas Litfor, is absolutely necessary, absolutely critical in order to be Malacha Deraisa Kireya. Some Rishonim understood that Amanas Litfor is an absolute function of Mishkan, and therefore its absence will result in the activity not being Nisa Deraisa. And the other bit of Rishonim was no. The Amanas Litfor is just simply an example, a description of a tikkun. Any equivalent tikkun, any equivalent positive activity would be sufficient to label something as being aser min haTorah. So we left that hanging, the rise back and forth last week. So with that, Machlokes now leads us to the next major question that everybody discusses concerning the Malacha of Kireya. And depending on what one's answer to that question is going to impact greatly on some nice aspects of Kireya. And that is a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Beitza, where the Mishnah talks about barbecue and roasting on Yom Tov, which is, of course, obviously permissible, assuming that one does the proper precautions in terms of any other malachas, in terms of avaras and kibbutz, etc. But theoretically, one can barbecue on Yom Tov. I know some people have asked me in the past whether I like the idea of barbecues on Yom Tov. Again, this is whether you want to call it a personal thing or a feel, whatever you want to call it. I'm not the biggest fan of a barbecue, so to speak, on Yom Tov. I have no problems with a person barbecuing meat and then serving it at a Yom Tov table. That's perfectly okay, again, if it's done in the proper way. So there's no fundamental difference between cooking the food on the stove and putting it on a grill. If it's kind of old, all is already eaten properly. But the notion of somehow like a barbecue look, I don't know, maybe it's for the guy with the barbecue hat on, and maybe it has that imagery of the kids in the sprinkler. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there's something about the barbecue look that is much closer to Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day, rather than to Zman Matan Teresenos. I don't know, there's something that rubs me the wrong way about it. It's like when somebody asked me several years ago about whether they could have a pizza lunch on Shavuos. I'm not even going into the intricacies now, fleishig versus milchig, so I know on Yom Tov and Shavuos, it's all about the story. But there are certain kinds of foods that have become associated in our culture with a little bit more of a laid-back type of a meal rather than a more formal meal. And I think that a Yom Tov meal and a Shabbos meal, for that matter, are formal occasions. They have to be treated as such. The menu may change slightly according to a person's taste, and I understand. I've said this over several times. That there are two halachas that govern to the Shabbos. There's the one hand across the Shabbos Oneg, and another hand has to be Mikra Kodesh. The Taskarim says Kachel B'Maichel Mishneh. What's the difference between Oneg and Mikra Kodesh? The answer is that they both have to be true. Oneg means you have to enjoy it. So a person has a very, very formal, elegant meal that he can't stand the taste of. So that may be a Mikra Kodesh, but it's not going to be an Oneg. Whereas a person, he likes his calzone, but it's not going to be very choshev, it's not going to be very expressive kedusha, it's not maybe a fulfillment of einig, but that may be lack in terms of mikra kodesh. So first, let's try to find that balance, to find the foods on Shabbos and Yom that are both tasty. That's, again, a very, very subjective statement, but there is a certain degree of objective quality in terms of the formality of the meal that is important as a mikra kodesh. But back to that story. The Mishnah Beitza says, you're having a barbecue, you're grilling a piece of meat on Yom Tov, and you want to cut a little piece of paper to wrap up the food for the purposes of the barbecue. And again, I'm not holding in the intricacies of barbecue. Maybe that would be the equivalent of cutting a piece of aluminum foil. Whatever it is, the Mishnah talks about chotras and niyah, cutting the piece of paper in order to somehow enable you to for the grilling process or the taking the food off the grill, whatever you do, but I don't really know. So the Mishnah says you're not allowed to do that on Yom Tov, even though you're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, but there are certain malachas you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So apparently this activity is a violation of one of those kinds of Isur. What Isur is it exactly? So the Gemara says that it smacks of Makom HaPatish, that you're fixing something, you're creating something, you're making this little aluminum foil dish or something, so that's like a Makom HaPatish. So the Rambam, when he quotes this din, puts it into the category of a derabbanan makom hapatish. It looks like makom hapatish. The Lashon HaGemara, that it gives off a little little bit of a resemblance to Machmir Kaddish, and therefore it's not a problem. Somehow, apparently, this is not a real derais. This is not really like building a table or something. They just take a little piece of aluminum foil and cutting it into places. Something, you know, that's not a real derais in Machmir Kaddish, but it should still be avoided mid derabbanan. So all the achronim above the kasha. Wait a second. Why is this only a derabbanan? What happened to Korea? You're ripping a piece of paper. Well, it's an akim. You're ripping a piece of aluminum foil. So why are we, walking a fine line to find what's in there? Among them, looks like it's Mepse, it's Nira, oh, God, yeah. Why isn't it outright also in a Torah? Because of the Malacha Deraisa of Kerea. So what would the answer to this question be? So one of the answers to the question would be a throwback to this, which here, namely, that if you believe that Kerea Deraisa requires an almanas that was lit for, so then I imagine when you're cutting your aluminum foil, cutting a piece of paper, you're not going to re-sew it. You're not putting the piece back together again. So obviously, it's lacking in terms of amanas. So if you really, really believe amanas is chayp l'yavar, so then clearly that would be a reason why it would not, and it couldn't possibly qualify as a derais. But if you hold that amanas is not so chashav, amanas is not the end goal. Amanas is simply a way of measuring whether you have an appropriate degree of an appropriate amount of tikkun present. So that is a pretty big tikkun. It's a good thing. I want to have a bark. I want to cut my piece of aluminum foil to the right side. I want to have something to wrap up my meat with. So then that should pose a problem. So maybe we have to look around for another reason. What's missing in terms of the deraisa? We're searching for the missing, the deraisa kores missing in action. We're trying to figure out why. What happened? Where to go? So if you go down the route, if it's not enough before, that would be a good solution. But again, as from last week's year, that was far from agreed upon. And actually, as we concluded the end of the year last week, it would almost appear that amanas lit for is not an absolute. So the very, very strong proofs in the direction that amanas lit for is not the end all. One of the greatest rais that the Negev brought, the later Chacham brought, is from the Sugi Bekarei of Al-Mesa, versus the Beirish, that a person takes Kriya on Shabbos, he wasn't supposed to do it, and technically it was Yotzei Kriya, but the Maisi was Mechal Shabbos deraisa. Why is Michal Shabbos Reis not going to re-sew the Kriya? Many of the Kriya is not even allowed to be re-sewn. It doesn't matter. That as long as you did something positive, that could qualify as a Deraisa. So the weight of the Halach opinion, so to speak, was in the direction that you probably don't really need an absolute Chayk L'Yavar of Amanas for Mamish. And therefore, we have reason to believe that there should have been some deraisa kare here. Now we're searching for why it's not. So what are some other possible reasons why there's no kare deraisa here? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from one of the Gedolei Acharonim, and Mishnah Berurah is such a tzaddik, so careful, and so didn't want to say it, to write anything that would be viewed as detrimental, something that would be a negative about anybody, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes one of the Gedolei Acharonim, and he refuses to quote it by name, because he vehemently disagrees with it, very, very strongly disagrees with this particular Acharon. So he didn't want to be a Vaza, he didn't want to make a Machloikas and fight about it. So he quotes his disagreement, very, very strong terms, but again, doesn't make reference to the person by name. What was the sheet? First we'll tell you what the sheet was, and we'll tell you who the sheet was. So what was the sheet that Mishagura comes down Eish Lahava against? So one of the Gedolei Acharonim writes that the Malach of Kireya is always found when you have two things, two different items that were connected, that were attached to one another. And now when you're separate, you're detaching between them, that's the Malach of Kareya. So let's say the Mashal, the days of the Mishkan. So Mishkan, Kareya, let's say Kareya involved, even that's not even so clear. Let's say you're dealing with an issue of Kareya in terms of the Uriel. So the other things that were done in the Mishkan, again, there's a whole discussion about that. But let's say, just for argument's sake right now, you're talking about material, you're talking about sewing together material. If you're ripping apart those materials, things that were sewn together, that's the Malach of Kireya. Let's say we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, the Rambam's famous extension of Kireya, where the Rambam says, when you take two pieces of paper and you glue them together, so that's the Malach of Tayfer also, and if you rip apart the papers, that's the Malach of Kireya. That's all background that opened the edges, the papers, the knife, and the whole story from a couple of weeks back. So, without giving a message, can anybody hear me or no? Right, are you able to hear me well now?
You're a little staticky. We can understand, a little staticky.
Okay, yeah, I don't know why I'm getting something popped up saying my speaker is not working.
We can hear you. It is a bit garbled.
Yeah, let me just see. I don't know what
that's okay now. Now you're okay.
Now it's better?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but okay, if there's any problem, just start waving and throwing things at me, Ron, okay? I'll put you officially in charge. It's like if I make a mistake in Kriyas HaTorah, you have a right to correct me. If you can't hear me, you can correct me, okay? Okay, so anyway. So the Kabbalist Mishmur and Kwalto Nechemim says that the law only applies if the items were two different distinct items that were combined together, like the pieces of fabric that were sewed together, like the piece of paper that were glued together. But if you have something that is one item, it is itself, it's one unit, and then you rip that unit apart, that is not the malach kireya. It's a different mice, it's a different action. That's not the model of kireya as the Chashabas dictates. If that's the case, and then Malik Brandolachem writes, therefore there would be no kireya on paper. This paper is one unit. Again, I'm not going back to the background how you make paper. The paper was made out of tree materials, whether it was made out of rags, or whatever different way. Now, if you take a piece of paper, you wouldn't look at a piece of paper and say, gee, this is a thousand different threads that are sewn together. But you look at my shirt, I take a look, and see, you can see it's materials, it's fabric, you can see it's different pieces that were put together. If I look at my glued piece of paper stuck together, so I can tell that it's two different things that were stuck together. So whenever you have two different things stuck together, you know what is kireya. We have one item, one unit, that's not called kireya. That's the one big deal that Rebbe writes. So again, Mishabura is very, very, very much opposed to that the view. So now, the person who said it, none other than Shulchan Aruch Harav. Shulchan Aruch Harav was the Baal Tanya. So the first little Babchi Rebbe, Shulchan Aruch Harav was one of the gedolei of his time, and it's something Mishabura had the utmost respect for. Mishabura quotes him almost every other page in Mishabura. He refers to him as the Graz, the Gvon Reb Zalman. So he quotes him as the Graz. If you open up any page of Mishabura, you'll see him quoting the Graz all the time. Some guys think that they don't know the history exactly. I think that Mishabura is quoting the Grizz, it's quoting the Brisker Rav. So they thought the Graz and the Grizz are the same thing. So it's a little bit humorous because, first of all, the Brisker Rav is a much younger version. So I said, well, Mishabura didn't write a sefer halacha. Third of all, Mishabura is not quoting the Brisker Rav in Uchas. It sits until in Uchas, bottom line. So it's the Graz. And normally Mishabura does quote by name and very often agrees with him. But here is one of those places where he strongly disagrees. And again, Chvodo doesn't even mention him by name. So we don't want to go down that route of the Rishonim insisting that it has to be a Menasel Tzvor. And we don't want to go down the route of the Shulchan Aruch Harav, the paper and aluminum foil, because that's subject to the Malacha of Kireya. So what's the answer? So now, why doesn't the Malacha of Kireya really apply in a case of just simply ripping a piece of paper in order to put onto a piece of meat for a barbecue or something? So the Mishnah Berurah himself suggests another idea. He thinks that maybe the Malacha of Kireya, by its very definition, means that a person is ripping something to use both sides of what he's ripping. The goal is, I'm ripping two pieces of paper apart from one another because I want to use both sides of it. But a person is ripping the fabric, ripping the garment apart because he wants to take both sides. And then he sold them or use them, use parts, whatever he wants to do, whatever his goal is. But his goal is to use both. If a person is just ripping A from B, and B is just kind of staying behind and not really being used, maybe that's not the little lach of Kriya. Where does Mishabura get such an idea from? So he shows you an idea from the Gemara, like Katan, in the Sugis of Kriya, supposedly, the Kriyam Lishneya Kriyam or something. So there was a whole discussion about that the word Kriya means Lishne Kriyam, that are both pieces. Again, Mishabura's all razzle dazzle right from the Sugi and Nuchus Kriya, Nuchus Avelus, and my Katan, to try to support this idea. That's another option as to why Kriya, the Raisa, doesn't appear here. So for whatever reason, Kriya Sama doesn't apply in this kind of a scenario. Now, for most of us, we're probably not barbecuing on Shabbos for sure, not even probably not ripping things for barbecuing. The Shiloh, where it comes up to us, and where all of these issues reach ahead again, and we have to also ask ourselves whether there's a Kareh that I said roll together, is of course the issue of opening up the bags and packages, etc. Now, the opening of all bags and packages and cans and bottles and all of the above is fraught with a whole series of other possible laws also. Laws we haven't even got to. So a little bit more to down the line. We can't say we're almost over Chashabas. We definitely made a significant headway in Chashabas over the last 2 years. But we still have a few more big malachas to go. So some of the malachas that we haven't even talked about were Boneh and Soser and Machbe Patish. Maybe once in a while they come up, but we haven't really focused on those malachas on their own. And all the opening of packages and bags and bottles are all going to run into potential issues of those kinds of malachos. But always in passing, whenever you open up any item, so you always have to also reckon, well, where does kireya fit into this? I'm opening up a bag of potato chips. I'm opening up a pack of sugar or something. Where does kireya fit or where does kireya not fit into this kind of a scenario? So a lot of this discussion is related to some of the things we spoke about. And a lot of it revolves around a statement that appears in Chazal about korin sa'or mi'amachav is b'shabbos. The person is allowed to rip off, let's say, leather coverings. You have a barrel,
and bowel wine, and you don't want to leave the bowel wine exposed. So we covered with something. So it was fairly common that they would almost like attach whatever they would do, a leather skin or something to serve as a covering over the top of the barrel. And that would open up that covering. So the sefta says you can just caress or melachot, just rip it through, take a knife, cut through the leather, and go ahead and enjoy your wine inside. So the post can say, obviously, the modern day equivalent to that, very common thing. The easiest example is a yogurt. So you have a yogurt, I want to just kind of rip through the yogurt covering. So that seems to be okay. Karnas or melachavis. So the multi million dollar question is, well, why is that okay? What happened to the Melach of Korea? Now, that particular scenario is not really a problem with the Bain, Asayis, and Mathematish kind of stuff, because I'm not changing the Kli itself. It's not like when I make a hole in a can. So then there's a potential issue of I'm changing the tour of the can itself. Either I'm building the can, destroying the can, I'm polishing the can, you know, any one of the possible above. Here, I'm removing. I'm not touching the yogurt container itself. I'm not touching the barrel itself. I'm simply doing something to the top. So that's a lesser problem. Those remember Sechis Makas, Nev Gimel, that's Mekubas Achavis. The covering of a barrel is significantly less of a problem of those kinds of malachas. But why isn't it a problem of Kareya? What happened to the malach of Kareya? So some of the answers that we've given up to this point may be helpful there also. Maybe what can hide behind, it's Kareya, Shalom, that's good for. So maybe that knocks it down to being only Derabanan. Maybe it's a Derabanan, it's Mutter. Maybe Koma Kalkulin is Mutter, Mokum Shabbos, and other reasons. You can go down a whole route of saying that once we've knocked it down to a Derabanan, then there may be grounds to be a little bit more makeup for Sech Shabbos. But why is it only Derabanan? I'm not going to say sure why it's only a Derabanan. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav will tell you, I'll tell you why it's in a derabanan. It's obvious why it's only a derabanan, because it's ore, it's animal skin. Animal skin is like paper. That means it's like a mitzvah. It's one unit. So it's one unit. It's not subject to the Melach of Kareya altogether. So that would be a great solution. Again, Mishnah Berurah obviously would go down that route. What would the Mishnah Berurah say about this kind of a situation? The Mishnah Berurah would probably hide behind his idea that the Melach of Kareya only applies when you want both items. So it doesn't have to be two different items in the sense of threads connected or papers glued together, but if you're not interested in both sides of the item that you're ripping, so maybe that doesn't lend itself to the malacha of Kareya. That would be another possibility. So again, you have to search around and try to figure out what happened to the malacha of Kareya. So there is a fascinating insight that is suggested by the Chazon Ish as to almost like a different reason, a totally different reason why malacha of Kareya wouldn't apply over here. So Chazon Ish seems like a model. Let's say you have a banana. So I want to eat a banana. So how to eat a banana? So I'm going to peel the banana. So we spoke a lot, a long time ago, back in Melachos Beirer. It's been really over about a year and a half ago since we talked about Melachos Beirer, about why that is or not Beirer, why is it there's a Nadosh, and then Biyad, and all that. Wait a second. A new problem. It's Kareya. I'm ripping the skin of the banana, or I'm opening up my orange. I'm ripping the skin of the orange. Why not? Why is that not a problem of Kareya? So obviously, Shmuel Chorav would laugh at the question. But maybe Mishnah Berurah would say, come on, you don't want both sides of the banana peel. Again, there are different reasons why it's not Kareya. So the Chazon Ish suggests that the reason why it's not Kareya is that the peel is kind of like bottled to the orange. It's like part of the food. It's like when you say, I'm cutting a slice of cake. Oh, Nuchum, you can't cut, forget about lettuce and birthday cake. You can't cut a birthday cake because you're being Kareya the food. So somehow that doesn't lend itself to the malacha of Kareya. Cutting food, somehow just by definition, that's not called malacha's Kareya b'chlal. And you can argue that as an issue, when you have like a peel, so the peel is total to the food, it's part of the food, and by definition, that's the Melach of Kareya. If that's the case, that a natural covering of food is considered to be part of the food, maybe we can extend that idea to almost artificial coverings of food as well. If the item in question is there simply for the purpose of protecting the food, so it's almost like an extension of food itself. It's not really an item that lends itself, it's even subject to the Melach of Kareya. So if you let's say you have a yogurt. The yogurt's inside this container, and the aluminum foil piece on top of the yogurt is there to protect the yogurt inside. Similar to the or gabi chava shel yayin. One can argue that this is not Kareya. This is part of the yogurt. This is the same way you I'm not sure I can use it. I'm cutting my yogurt in half. The same way that there's no malacha, but I cut a piece of cake. So that wouldn't lend itself to the malacha of Kareya. Maybe that would be another reason why it would be okay. That idea is an idea that we've seen in the Shabbos, other areas of malacha. It's almost like a strange way of looking at artificial containers of food. Like the Rebbeinu Shlom created in the Olam HaTeva, that food sometimes requires a container to it. So bananas get their peels, and oranges get their peels. And you would like to make a shell on the outside. So also in the artificial world, so we sometimes use things to store foods in, to protect foods in. So do we view those things as being almost like extensions of the food itself? So that's what actually is Rav Moshe Feinstein has. It's for two different areas. One nechusham, so one nechus tilos kelim. That idea, Rav Moshe has a chiddush, and hopefully we'll talk about this down the line. We get back to bone, we get to bone. One of the issues of opening cans and packages, Rav Moshe has a svara that sometimes the packaging can be viewed as almost like just part of the food. The same way that nobody would say when you open an orange, peel an orange, you're being so the orange. That's so the orange. The peel is part of the orange. That's so sad. So the same thing here, we wouldn't call you being soiser and opening up a tuna fish can, because the tuna fish can's goal is to protect the tuna fish. So it's almost like part of the tuna fish. It's not really a separate entity in and of itself. So that's Kain's idea. The Chazanish is saying that you can't view malach as kareya and those items that are just really part and parcel of the food itself. You can't view malach as soiser, those items that are part and parcel of the food itself. That's where Moshe had the same story by Tfilas Kalim, where Moshe writes that I buy a bottle of a Snapple. The old days, glass bottles of Snapple. So I buy a glass bottle of Snapple, and now I open it up and drink the Snapple, and then I want to reuse it. I want to fill it up with water or something. So some folks can raise the question, but I said the Snapple bottle was made by a hood. So now when you're reusing it, that's called using it. Close amount of Snapple was in the bottle. I'm just drinking out of the, taking it out of the bottle. So maybe that's not called using the clay. It's just called emptying out the clay, maybe. But that's not the question. But if I want to now reuse it, so what gives me the right to reuse it? So Moshe had a fascinating insight. Moshe said, no, that Kol's not that it was the Snapple bottle was made by the company of Snapple. It was made just to protect that particular Snapple. So it didn't really have the shame of a cleat. It was just an extension of the iced tea itself. It was just, it was like a banana peel, like a watermelon peel. It wasn't really an entity. It was just bottled to the food. Now when you open up the Snapple bottle and you take out the Snapple and then you want to refill it, so at that point, you're now designating it for the purpose of another kind of food. So now you're turning it into a cleat. You're transforming it into a cleat. So much says that's great. You're making a clay. The good news is that you're Jewish. So any clay that you make is a Jewishly made own clay. So it's a brand new clay. This clay was not made in the Snapple factory. Kozman was in the Snapple factory. Kozman was on the shelf. Kozman that wasn't reused. It was just a peel protecting Snapple. Now that you're reusing it, you are being conveyed as a clay, but you've been doing it under the Jewish auspices. So you put a big sign up that says, Klee Zan Hasem Bailus Yisrael Yitzhak Achtvila. The same way they put all those Hamish stamps on the urns. This clay was made under Jewish auspices. So it doesn't need tefillah. So it doesn't made under Jewish ownership. Doesn't need tefillah. So again, it's not identical. It's all the same kind of an idea that we're looking at these you know, extensions of foods closer to foods rather than as entities in themselves and lend themselves to different malachim. So if it really does settle, it's mutter to do these kinds of things, these kinds of ripping open in terms of malachim's career. I didn't say that opening packages are mutter yet. You got a lot of other issues to deal with. You got to deal with the blame and say it's not about this. You got to come back to the shiur maybe some months to come. But if all you're worried about is kareya, so that's probably less of an issue per se. Just as an aside, whenever a person opens a packaging, there's always other tangential issues, the issues of chikas oisias. That's a whole other malachim. And so we don't want to Shabbos, we got a lot of lachas left. So mochek is a whole other question. That's the Ramah's curveball. Ramah says that you can't rip through letters. Ramah's not talking about opening the bags of potato chips. Ramah's talking about cutting through happy birthday letters on a cake. So the Ramah's famous chumra, you're not allowed to cut through letters on Shabbos, which again is a big machlokes and different opinions and different nuances. So again, that's something that you have to put on the back burner. We never discuss opening packages, any of that kind of stuff. But just in terms of lachas kareya, so we have the basic tzur of the malacha. We spoke a lot about the relation between kareya and toifer. We spoke a lot about the role of kayama and enosha kayama in these terms of these malachas. We spoke a lot about some of the answers that are presented by the Gedolei HaPoskim as to why certain activities that we would have fortunate in Korea, the cases of the paper and the tzli and the Mishnah Beit, so the cases of the Kortzol Melachavis, different kinds of things that one would have guessed should have been more Korea and somehow slipped through the cracks and then not to be such a serious concern of Korea. Okay, so we'll try to move on, at least get started a little bit into the next day of malachas. So believe it or not, we're out of the realm of material. The material, in terms of the fabrics, the fabric malachas have taken us, I think, most of this year. I mean, these are the malachas that we spoke way, way back with kibbutz and tzveya and stuff months ago. Now we're moving into the issue relating to the animal skins. So animal skins have animal skins are a whole other dimension of malachas of the Mishkan. I don't know, I think some, are you able to hear or not really?
It's still a little bit, it's been garbled, a little bit garbled the whole time.
But is it all about mice? You can make up what I'm saying? Yeah, you can still, okay, good. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know what's about. I keep on seeing the same sign on my screen saying that there's a problem, but I don't know what the problem is. Okay, so I have to get my kids, if they share to figure out what's going on. Okay, we're almost done anyway for today.
Right now it's perfect. When you
good. Okay, okay, we'll figure it out. Okay, meanwhile, we have a couple of minutes left anyway, so we'll try to figure it out by the next year. So we move into the next malacha of relating to animal skills. The first malacha is It's hard to process an animal skill until you get the animal. So in order to get the animal, you have to be saw the animal. You have to trap the animals. That's the first of the malachas that we have to deal with. So it's strange that the malacha of tzeda, I think more than maybe additional kosei, maybe probably more than most other malachas, has a tremendous, tremendous amount of lovedness to it. It's strangely enough, many of the kolam of Hilchos Shabbos find themselves playing out specifically in the sugyas of tzeda. So those who learn Davyomi, the sugyas of tzeda coming around the bend, and you know, the ending of the rolling to the end of a zoreg, and then into a bone, and then into a oreg, and then oreg and shvat shvatzim, and all the sugyas that relate to animals. So they're really, really, you know, a week or so away from the Davyomi people, even less than that. So the malacha of tzeda has a lot of lumpness in terms of the klolim. Many of the klolim of darshim is kind of worked out here by the Rishonim. Remember the klolim of shetzuch legufa. Yeah, it's a lot of some basic things that we keep on coming back to. A lot of them are actually worked out by the Rishonim in the sugyas relating to tzeda. So we'll try to go through the malacha of tzeda and again keep on highlighting those parts that touch on so much more global of Shabbos. So when we begin to talk about the malacha of tzeda, so the Mishnah tells us about the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what item are you being tzad? What exactly are you trapping? So here the Mishnah quickly differentiates between what's called the davar yesh b'mino nitzayid in contrast to something which is ein b'mino nitzayid. Something that it's a kind of a species that is generally trapped in contrast to something which is a kind of a species that is not generally trapped. So then the Mishnah and the Gemara gives you a few examples. Something's obvious, tzatzvi, catching a deer. That's a very obvious thing that people like to trap. And there are other kinds of things people trap either for their food or they trap for the animal skins, furs, whatever different kinds of things that the Olam views as being a normal kind of thing to trap. And then you have the Eimimino Nitzayid, which is the bugs. Gemara talks about the person who traps the flies, the mosquitoes, etc. Then you have every once in a while certain things that's not 100% sure. Are they Eimimino Nitzayid? Not Eimimino Nitzayid. Bees is a whole question. We'll talk about that later on. But I take is in terms of the trapping of the bees, the rices, the rabbanos. Again, that's a whole very loaded question. But the lovers of the mice, huh? But the basic distinction we do accept, the book of Tanaim, but we accept the halacha without any question. There is a difference between Yesh Mino Nitzah versus Eim Mino Nitzah in the following sense. The Mishnah says that Yesh Mino Nitzah is also in a Torah's Chayav, Eim Mino Nitzah is only also in the Rabban. The question is, why is that? What is the basis of that distinction? Why is there such a category called Eim Mino Nitzah? What's the lumpness behind that? So Rashi has a startling statement. Rashi relates this distinction to a more general question about Hilchos Shabbos. It's called Malach Shetzich Leguf. Again, principle we've said many times over. That if a person does an action of a malach on Shabbos, but he's doing it for a different purpose, and again, at least the way Tosfos defines it, as a different purpose that was generally done in the Mishkan. So the easiest example is carrying. Carrying in the Mishkan was done for the purpose of using the item that you're carrying. So, I want to take it safer. I carry the safer outdoors, which is Yach, which is around. So that's called carrying the Raisa. I am carrying an item for the purpose of using the item. That's a big problem on a level of the Raisa. If I'm carrying something not for the purpose of using the item, but rather for the purpose of removing the item, the item's in the way, the item causing me problems, the item is annoying me, it's interfering with me, so then that's called the malacha ein etzich legufas. That's what the Mishnah gives as an example. Hamaytzi esameis, I'm carrying, just a few days ago, a person carries out a dead body out of the house. So he's not planning on using the body, he's planning on removing the body. Well, let's say a person takes out the garbage, so he's not interested in using the garbage, he wants to get rid of the garbage. If he brings the can back inside the house, so that would be a problem. That's the most serious problem, because then he wants to reuse the can for more garbage later. So you have to always evaluate whether something is legufa or ein legufa. So it's a machlekes atanoim, whether that even makes a difference. Rabbi Yehuda holds that doesn't make a difference. Malacha esameis is also chay, but we both Rishon Paskin Rabbi Shimon, with the exception of the Rambam, both of Rishon Paskin that Malach Shetzich Legufa is not a Nisad Dereis. It's only a Nisad Derabbanan anyway. So Rashi says on the Sugya of Tzeda, Rashi says that's why Ein Bino Nitzah is only Derabbanan, because it's inevitably going to be Malach Shetzich Legufa. I'm carrying it not for the purpose of using it. I'm not interested in using these flies. I'm not interested in using the flies. I'm trapping the flies to get rid of the flies. I'm trapping the item to get rid of it. I'm trapping the mosquito to get rid of it. I'm a pet mosquito collection. So any time that I'm trapping something, if I don't need something, it's always going to be a malach shetzich leguf. That's the reason why it's important. So Tosfos poses the question. Tosfos says, no, that's not true. It may be right. Rashi may be right 90% of the time, but not 100% of the time. It is possible that a person may have an aim bino nitzah that he really wants to use. So according to Rashi, it sounds good. According to Rashi, there's no independent tour of aim bino nitzah. Aim bino nitzah is 99.9% of the time going to be covered by the regular tour of Malach Shetzich Leguf. So Tosfos says, no, Tosfos says that aim bino nitzah is a separate distinct tour. Aim bino nitzah means that it's not kederach tzeda. That's not a normal thing. That's a mishugah. What normal person goes in and traps mosquitoes? That's what people do. So when a person is trapping an item that's not normally trapped, that's a malach lechia. That's an abnormal way of doing malacha. And we should have 2 years of learning Hilchos Shabbos. You do things that are abnormal, but by definition, it can't be deraisa. So everyone agrees. I mean, everyone We're not sure why. It's not a deraisa for Rashi's reason, because it's Vach Shazir Tabufa. But it's not a deraisa for Taisa's reason, because it's a Kaleachayan. What was bothering Rashi? Why didn't Rashi say Tostos? It's very Poshut. So maybe Rashi's bothered that. Can you really hide behind Kaleachayan? Usually, when you think about Kaleachayan, Kaleachayan usually speaks to the Maisa, to the Pu'ula. So the Mishnah says in Shabbos, if you carry something inside your shoe or something, inside your hat, instead of carrying your hand in your pocket, that's a mice, that's not a different way. The person holds, instead of holding the pencil, is right hand, writing, is writing with his left hand. So those are examples of Kliachiyah. They're Shinuyim mitzad Pa'ula. Here, the Pa'ula is done the same way. I'm setting up a trap. It's just that the item that I'm trapping is it's a Chefza, it's not the Gav, it's a Chefza that's not normally trapped. But if you would just isolate the pu'ula samalacha, the losasik of malacha, the asiyah samalacha is being done in an identical fashion that it's done in any other way. So if that's the case, that the asiyah samalacha is being done in an identical way, the fact that you chose to do it to a chefza, that's different. So who says that should qualify as a malacha keliachayat? We're not so sure, not so partial that would qualify as a keliachayat. So again, it's not 100% sure. But the bottom line is it's potter. That's the bottom line. The bottom line is it says beferish that it's potter. So we're not sure. Is Rashi's reason of Melchizedek was for the correct reason, or is Taisa's reason of keliachayat the correct reason? At the end of the day, say the on of Dav Shem and Nitzot will not be a deraisa. They didn't say it's mutter, but we mean it's only a derabbanan. So that's going to become very, very important when we talk about trapping bees and catching perhaps mosquitoes and other kinds of things that may be bothering a person. So I didn't say these things are mutter. I said you have to always know. Are we dealing with deraisa and derabbanan? We have a lot of work to do, hopefully, with Hashem in the next year in terms of the intricacies of what is considered to be tzeid, what's not considered to be tzeid. Okay? Good. Wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful day. Good week. Shalom. Stay well. Mm-hmm.